есть маньяку я хирошло кумлефа к тому ферими. Ин ми глечи б тому фея. Да не ме гос. Ин арт от лом войок. Не, тудом. Мерт мой я анкл сам хок ин танцам. Пробол том. Аренда шенген мег моя разни.
And good evening, everyone. Welcome back to the Power Hour here at radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Sam I Am in the studio. I hope everyone had a great Christmas and an absolutely wonderful New Year. I know I had a great one. It's back at home. So we have a new airtime this semester, if you haven't already noticed. It is Thursday nights, 6 to 7. Right here at radio.dominican.edu. It's going to be a great time this semester. DJ Nooch will definitely be with us later this semester, probably next week. He could make it this week, unfortunately. So we'll start off the show with the soccer team and us starting our off-season workouts for the spring season. We had a 6:30 a.m. practice this morning. We're working hard, getting ready for the spring season, off season. We'll be playing a lot of D1 teams. So please support our DU Penguins soccer team. Yeah. So also to begin the show, I want to give a little update on the sports that are actually currently going on here at Dominican. There was a great basketball game here at Dominican Monday night, and it was against BYU Hawaii. And the BYU Hawaii team was really good. They have a guy on their team, number 23. His last name's Chang. He's an All-American. He's an absolute athlete. Incredible. I watched him play. I went to the game. It was an incredible game. It came down to a three-pointer at the buzzer to win. Heartbreaking loss for the DU Penguins, but they fought really hard. They played with a lot of heart. And it was a lot of fun to watch. So you guys should really support your DU Penguins. So in tonight's show, we will get into the heartbreaking end to a magnificent, glorious, stupendous, surprising, satisfying season that the 49ers had this year. As you may know, they lost to the New York Giants in the NFC Championship game this last weekend. I will get into their two playoff games, which were both held at Candlestick. And then we will also get into the team awards that were given out. And at the end of the show, I will give you a recap of the Warriors' great win last night against the Portland Trail Blazers, who are a really good team with really good size. So it was a good win for us at home. So it's going to be a good show. Can't wait to get it started. We'll take a quick break. And can't wait to be back. We got a great show. Stay tuned. This is radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Sam I Am at the Power Hour.
Seems like each time I'm with you, I lose my mind because I'm bending over backwards to relate. One thing to complain, but when you're driving me insane, well then I think it's time that we took a break. Maybe we're just trying too hard, when really it's closer than it is too far.
Telling me I've been too deep, and I'm trying to keep up
Welcome back to the Power Hour here at radio.dominican.edu. You know who this is, DJ Sam I Am. And, of course, our first topic, the 49ers and their heartbreaking loss at Candlestick this past weekend against the New York Giants and Eli Manning. Eli Manning, that son of a gun. The weather was absolutely perfect for a Niner game. If you didn't see the score, the score was a 20-17 loss, and it ended in overtime. So the weather was absolutely perfect for the Niners. It was rainy, overcast, kind of a typical night in the Bay. And the game turned out to be great, of course, like everyone expected to be. The hype in the Bay Area was so big, it was unbelievable. I mean, everyone was talking about it. If the 49ers won the Super Bowl, it would have been a lot bigger than when the San Francisco Giants won the World Series. By far better. I mean, it would have been a lot more epic. Fans would have went more crazy. More people would have jumped on the bandwagon. All that junk. So now you can put all the blame. Oh, so if you look at the game and you see the highlights of the game and you see SportsCenter, you're going to see the fumble, of course, by Kyle Williams. But really, you can't put all the blame on the poor kid. I mean, he First off, he isn't the starting punt returner. Ted Ginn got injured. And, I mean, that really is no excuse because he should be able to come in, be ready to play. But, I mean, he isn't the starting punt returner. Ted Ginn is supposed to be back there for us. And two, I mean, it's a team sport. You can't blame a whole game, an NFC championship game at that. You can't put it all down just on one play, on Kyle Williams' fumble. But, I mean, come on, man. Kyle Williams. If you didn't see the game, he had basically it was in overtime. Niners have a stop, of course, on defense. And the New York Giants are about to punt. Kyle Williams is back to return the punt. And here comes the punt. Kyle Williams gets it, takes a couple steps forward, and it takes one swipe of the arm. Fumble on around the San Francisco 30-yard line. Right in field. The New York Giants are already in field goal position for the win. All they had to do was run it a couple times, and it was a game over. So, I mean, Kyle Williams must feel so bad. I mean, he actually had death threats out to him. I mean, people were threatening his life. It's crazy. I mean, it actually was his second fumble of the game, to be honest. So, I mean, he really wasn't, his head wasn't in the game. I mean, you're fumbling twice in an NFC championship game. I mean, before the overtime fumble, if you guys didn't watch it, I don't know why you wouldn't, but before the overtime fumble, he had watched he kind of just watched the punt bounce right in front of him, and he couldn't really make the judgment on whether to get it or whether to let it go by him, and he kind of did a couple jab steps toward it, and the ball kind of snuck up on him, took a bad hop, hit him in the knee. Clearly hit him in the knee, and he pretends like nothing happened, runs away. New York Giants get the ball, and it is reviewed for a turnover. And the worst part about that play, I mean, yeah, you can fumble. Okay, it's a mistake. Mistakes happen. But when you make your mistake, man up to it. I saw Kyle Williams on the bench just kind of He basically was saying that the ball didn't touch him. And I hate when people do that because I mean, don't they know that they're on HD TV now and millions of people are watching you on national television? And don't they know that the whole world is going to watch about 100 replays of the same play to know exactly what happened? I mean, literally every play on these playoffs seems like they're getting replayed over and over. The games are being dragged out so long, and he's still denying that. Oh no, it didn't hit me. It didn't hit me. I swear. It's the same thing with Ndamukong Suh for the Detroit Lions, the defensive tackle, when he on Thanksgiving stomped on the offensive lineman for the Green Bay Packers, and his defense was, oh yeah, I was off balance, and in order to get on balance, I had to just stomp. And oh yeah, stomping on someone. It was blatant that he looked down, aimed his heel, and aimed for a body part of the opposing team, and he got him pretty good. So it was definitely, everyone's watching it, so I don't understand why you can't just man up to it. Doesn't make sense to me at all. He is a young second player, Kyle Williams. He isn't a rookie. This is his second year, but we really didn't use him last year. This year is his first year of real action. And, I mean, he's been really, really good for us this year. He's really backed up Ted Ginn because Ted Ginn has gotten injured a couple times this year, and he's punt return and kick return very well for us. And to be honest, he was a very solid receiver for us. He did make some mental mistakes, but again, he's young, and although this is a very big mistake for the poor kid, and he's going to remember this for the rest of his life, you know, knowing how strong our locker room is and how close Harbaugh is with his players, I mean, you know Williams is just going to come back even better. He's going to work harder this offseason. his teammates are going to motivate him to work even harder. So I can't wait for him to come back, because the Niners have a lot of potential for next year. Everyone needs to be ready for the Niners, because this is not a little fluky, oh, they just finally barely made it to the playoffs. We're going to be in the playoffs for multiple years in a row now, and possibly Super Bowl runs. I'm calling it right now on radio.dominican.edu. Niners in the Super Bowl. Calling it. And typical weather of the San Francisco, of course, it was a typical Niners game. I mean, there were huge big pass plays to big guy Vernon Davis and a very consistent, steady dose of Frank Gore. Frank Gore, I love the way Frank Gore runs. I mean, in the playoffs, the way he was running, I mean, just consistent, always 4, 5, 3, 3, 4, 5 yards, just consistent, always falling forward. He does his little kind of bunny hop set toward the line, and then just he's able to burst through the line so easily, and he's so strong. I mean, it really is a beautiful thing to watch. I love watching him play, and can't wait for next year, because they're just going to be better. Jim Harbaugh's going to get he's going to have a full offseason to really mature his guys, and I can't wait. I really can't wait. And of course the defense, like they always do, played absolutely outstanding this past weekend, and also the special teams. And if you guys didn't see the special teams on either at the Giants game or at the Saints-Niners game, and if you can see how pumped up the Niners get, those special teams guys, I mean, they're swaying back to back, side to side. I mean, these guys are getting amped up. There's these two crazy white guys can stand zone some other fool just running around doing the same stuff. I mean, it's a lot of fun to watch. And really, our special teams is the best in the league. I mean, anytime you watch us play, David Akers is going to kick off, and we're going to tackle you inside the 15. And that's our game. And I love how we play our style of game, no matter who we play. It's field position. Special teams is a key part of the game, and we use it perfectly. David Akers, outstanding acquisition. I mean, that guy had an outstanding year kicking the football. Andy Lee, one of the best in the league in pinning people inside the five. Andy Lee is probably one of my favorite players. I mean, me and my brother go way back and repping Andy Lee. I mean, he has been the only consistent Pro Bowler besides maybe Frank Gore, but Andy Lee's been there before Frank Gore, just consistently best player. He's always been healthy. Frank Gore wasn't healthy a couple years in his career. Andy Lee's been healthy all the time. I mean, of course, because he's a punter. But anyway, I mean, he pins people in the five consistently. It's a field goal position game, and the Niners play it to a T. And, of course, the crowd was great against the Giants game, but I do want to bring up it really wasn't as – okay, I don't want to say as great, because Niners fans are always great at Candlestick. I mean, we're diehard Niners fans at Candlestick. But the crowd was not as red as it was at the Saints game. Because at the Saints game, at the Saints game, it was just a sea of red. An absolute sea. Like, if you see replays of any type of highlight of the game, just look at the crowd, and you will not see anything but red. And that's so cool, because you know that place was just so loud. I mean, it's to me the coolest parts about one of the coolest parts about sports is when the crowd gets into it, and you see this in college a lot, and the crowd gets into it, and when you're watching the game on TV, the camera shaking because of how loud the crowd is and everything's shaking, and I just love that. You kind of like feel like you're in there, and I just get goosebumps just thinking about it. And I mean, the crowd was great. It almost was like you were in the dome, how loud it was, really. And at Candlestick, that's saying something, because you're right by the bay. There's a good breeze. You got to be loud, and it was loud. you could just feel the intensity, too, through the crowd. I mean, all it took was Dante Whitner's first hit in that Saints game, and he lit up Pierre Thomas, took him out of the game, out of the playoffs, and just annihilated him. I hope Pierre Thomas is okay. I think it was just a concussion. But, I mean, Dante Whitner jacked him up. It was a helmet-to-helmet kind of, but it was a legal hit. Shoulders hit. Ball came out. Pierre Thomas face plant. Fumble recovery by the Niners. Crowd gets into it. Game over. Niners win. And, of course, what won us the game against the Saints, and I want to reiterate this for all those SportsCenter East Coast biased analysts and fans out there, we did get to the playoff. We got through the playoffs with our offense. We beat the Saints with our offense. With two, under 4 minutes, we had two game-winning drives against the Saints. That's saying something. Props, Alex Smith. That's great. And really, the Niners played a really good game against the Giants. I mean, the defense played so well. To be honest, Eli Manning played one heck of a game. I'm looking at his stats right now. He went 32 for 58, 316 yards and two touchdowns. But that wasn't like really the best part of his game, because what happened that game, and I'm talking about the Giants game right here, is he was knocked down 12 times, sacked 6 times, and he was still able to be that productive against the Niners defense. And Niners defense came out to play. You got to give it to props, Eli Manning. It just hurts to know that our offense could have got the ball, and I know we would have driven down the score. I know we would have. God, it hurts, man, just thinking about it. We'll give you a little bit more stats of the game when we come back. Stay tuned when we come back. Of course, like I said, some stats. And we will get into the Warriors game and their win against the Portland Trail Blazers last night. They won 101-93. Stay tuned. This is radio.dominican.edu. You're listening to DJ Sam I Am at the Power Hour. Gonna tell you what you can do with my love. Alright. Let you know, girl, you're looking good, you're out of sight. Alright, just move yourself and you glide like a 747 and you lose yourself in the sky.
when I gave you a word. Now in the morning I sleep alone, sweep the streets I used to own. The crowd would sing, now the old king's dead, long live the king. One minute I held the key, next the walls were closed on me, and I discovered that my castle stand upon pillars of salt and pillars of sand.
Breaking news at the bottom of the hour. Two teenage girls in Texas are facing capital murder charges after a man was found stabbed in a motel room, MyFoxDFW.com reports. Police say 17-year-old Tatina Daniels and 18-year-old Teresa Price were partying Monday night in a motel room with the victim, 40-year-old Jesse Morales Jr. Authorities did not give details on what happened in the hotel room that night, but said the party involved drugs, sex, and alcohol. The girls then allegedly took the victim's van and set fire to it. Police had found the van, but were unaware of the murder until the two teens walked into a police station and told them where to find Morales' body. Now stay tuned for more Power Hour at theradio.dominican.edu with DJ Sam I Am.
That was when I ruled the world.
And welcome back to the Power Hour here at radio.dominican.edu. This is DJ Sam I Am. Okay, so now I lied to you all. I'm sorry that I lied, but we're not going to get into the Warriors just yet. I still have a couple of things to talk about with my Niners. I still want to talk about them before because I still love them a lot. And before the Pro Bowl and the Super Bowl, the 49ers pass out their team awards. Or I think it's when the season is over. They'll pass out their team awards. And so the recipients of the awards, the Len Eshmont Award goes to defensive tackle Justin Smith, probably one of the biggest beasts in the league. That guy is a monster. He's really scary. So if you don't know what the Len Eshmont Award is, it is voted on by the players and is given to the 49er who best exemplifies the inspirational and courageous play of Len Eshmont, who was original member of the 1946 49ers team. Eshmont coached at Navy and Virginia following his career in San Francisco and died in 1957. The award was established that year. So Justin Smith with his award, definitely deserving of it. And he also gets another award. The next award is the Bill Walsh Award. That's a pretty big award to win. And that's two for Justin Smith, which he definitely deserves it. He's just so good. Our defense our defensive line is what makes our defense, and he is the heart of our defensive line. The Bill Walsh Award was established in 2004 in honor of San Francisco's Hall of Fame head coach. Bill Walsh served as the team's head coach for 10 seasons from 1979 to 88. In that time, he compiled a record of 102, 63, and 1, and led the team to 3 Super Bowls. He was twice named Coach of the Year in 81 and 84, and was later named Coach of the Decade for the 1980s. Great award. Justin Smith, too. Great. Next award, Bob McKittrick Award, goes to center Jonathan Goodwin. The Bob McKittrick Award is given annually to the 49ers offensive lineman who best represents the courage, intensity, and sacrifice displayed by the longtime offensive line coach Bob McKittrick and his 21 years of service to the 49ers. Long, long time Hall of Fame 49er. Next award is the Hazeltine Iron Man Award. Jeez, I totally forgot. Defensive tackle Justin Smith has 3 awards. Excuse me, I lied to you again. Sorry, that's 2 times in a row that I lied to you. He has 3 awards. The Hazeltine Iron Man Award is named for former linebacker Matt Hazeltine, a 13-year-old performer who played more seasons at linebacker than any other 49ers player. Known for his durability and his dedication, Hazeltine passed away in 1987 from Alzheimer's disease. Or from ALS. And Bill Walsh established the award in his honor that year. The award is given annually to the most courageous and inspirational defensive player as voted upon by the defensive coaches. So that was voted on by the defensive coaches. And, of course, they saw what I saw. And I saw what everyone else saw. And everyone else saw Justin Smith dominate the NFL this year. And he deserved every single award that he gets. Next award is the Thomas Herrion Memorial Award. That goes to cornerback Corey Nelms. Now, a lot of you might not know that, but Thomas Herrion Memorial Award was established in 2005 by 49ers owner Denise and John York and is presented to a rookie or first-year player who best represents the dream of Thomas Herrion. The recipient has taken advantage of every opportunity, turned it into a positive situation, and made their dream turn into a reality. Corey Nelms, great young talent for us. We're going to need that because I think what we need to work on in these next draft is definitely not our defense, but our secondary. We need work on our secondary, and that's a great young talent, cornerback Corey Nelms. So he's going to be great for us in the future. Keep an eye on him. Next award and the final award that was given out was the Ed Block Courage Award. And this was given to my man, Alex Smith. He has been chosen by his teammates as the 2011 Ed Block Courage Award recipient, which is given annually to the player that exemplifies a commitment to sportsmanship and courage. It's the first award that Alex Smith has won since he's been into the NFL. And that's great because, to be honest, Alex Smith deserves the award. And if you see any interviews after the games, the playoff games, it was all praise for Alex Smith. Every single teammate backed up Alex Smith, saying that he was my homeboy. I love him. I'm backing him up. He's our quarterback. I just love it. And it showed in his play because Alex Smith played great football this year. And everyone says, yeah, they lost because Alex Smith can't do it. No, Alex Smith did do it, and he did a great job. I mean, he's a 7-year vet. This is really his first good year. He led the 49ers this year. I just want to give you some stats on why he won this award, because really people don't understand how good he did this year. So Smith led to the 49ers to a 14-4 overall record in the NFC West, of course, division crown for this first time since 2002. And he, of course, posted some of the best numbers of his career. In passing yards, career high, 2,931. He had a career high in completion percentage, 61%, and quarterback rating, 90.1. He only threw 5 interceptions on the whole year, and that's the fewest of his career. Because if you're a longtime 49er fan, you know Alex Smith is notorious. And I mean notorious with a capital N. Notorious for throwing interceptions. I mean, back in the day, anytime Alex Smith dropped back to pass, you knew he was throwing an interception. And guess what? He did not let you down. He threw that interception right to the other team, right to his chest, right for a pick six. And Alex Smith loved doing that. But this year, he only threw 5. And that was the least in the NFL in 2011. The least in the NFL. So he did not. He turned over the ball less. He had less interceptions better than Tom Brady, less than Drew Brees, less than Eli Manning. I mean, he's a good quarterback, and now that everyone in the locker room has confidence in Alex Smith and in what he has to give to the 49ers organization, he's gonna blossom, and it's really gonna be fun to watch. Just watch, everyone. Just watch. And the Ed Block Courage Award is named after Ed Block, and he was the former head athletic trainer for the Baltimore Colts for 23 years. Block was a pioneer in his profession and a respected humanitarian whose most passionate cause was helping children of abuse. The Ed Block Courage Award Foundation promotes the prevention of child abuse by raising awareness of the epidemic and assisting agencies who provide for the care and treatment of abused children and communities throughout the NFL. And it's a really prestigious award for the 49ers organization, and I'm glad the teammates rallied around Alex Smith and picked him because he deserved it. Go, Alex Smith. I will get off your jock now. All right, we'll take a quick break. I need some water. Getting a little tired. On our last little segment here, we will get into the Warriors, our Warriors talk. And, of course, their great win against the Portland Trail Blazers last night, 101-93. I'll give you a little recap of the game. Stay tuned. This is radio.dominican.edu. You're listening to DJ Sam I Am at the Power Hour. To the Power Hour here at radio.dominican.edu. You're listening to DJ Sam I Am, as always. So, finally, what you've all been waiting for, the Warriors and the Portland Trailblazers game. It was a great game. The Warriors at home this year are a completely different team than years in past. It's just a great thing to see. Coach Mark Jackson, who literally has never had a coaching job of any kind in his life. So he hasn't coached in Pop Warner football, Little League baseball, La Garza basketball. He hasn't coached any type of sport at all in his life. And now he's taking on an NBA job at Golden State to a very weak franchise at the moment. I mean, strong fan base, but I mean, haven't made a push in the playoffs in a long time, in decades, really. But it's good to see Mark Jackson. In an interview the other week, I heard about it, and Jackson said things like, in previous teams in previous years, this is what he would say. He said that they would come into Oracle and say, "Yep, knock this win off on the schedule." But this year, he's demanding that it's not going to be an easy win anymore. He said every team that comes in here is going to have to fight, and we're going to get our crowd into it as much as possible. And that's the key at Oracle Arena. I mean, all you really do to get the fans pumped is to hit a three. Hit two threes in a row, and you've got them jacked up, ready to go until the next timeout. So if you can get them going consistently throughout the game, it's going to help you a lot. And really, they have. They're a really dominant team at home. I wouldn't say dominant. I mean, they did beat the Miami Heat at home, so that's pretty dominant. But, I mean, you can't say that the Warriors are dominant in anything because they don't win ever. But, I mean, it's a tough place to play at home at Oracle Arena in Oakland, California. The key has been stepping up the defense, I think, in key players in the fourth quarter. So last night, for example, LaMarcus Aldridge, he led Portland with 18 points, but only had two in the final period. So what I see on the team is a guy named McGuire, last name McGuire. He has a lot to do with what happens with our defense and why it's so successful, because he can shut down the other team's best scorer. I saw it over Christmas break when the season first began, when they were playing the New York Knicks, and Carmelo Anthony was there, and he was going off on us, and we couldn't stop him. Fourth quarter comes around, Mark Jackson puts in McGuire, Carmelo Anthony scores 2 points, and on free throws. He went 0 for 8 on the field in the fourth quarter, didn't make anything. So my point is, McGuire is a solid defender. Really, all he can do is defend. He can't play offense. But he's a great fourth quarter defender. I love to have him in. He's a good hustler. And he gets the crowd going, making defensive plays, stopping their best player. It was great. The defense wasn't the only thing that helped us last night. A little bit of Steph Curry was the key, really. He had 32 points, 7 assists, and 6 rebounds. And thank God he had a good game. If you didn't really see Steph Curry or keep track of Steph Curry, great, great point guard. He has rolled his ankles multiple times, and it has really hurt him. And really, his career is in jeopardy because he's had surgery. He's had surgery on the ankle in the offseason, and he just keeps rolling it and rolling and rolling it. But he played last night, 32 points, like I said, 7 assists, 6 rebounds. And this is 2 days after setting a season-worst mark. He had 24 turnovers while blowing a 17-point fourth-quarter lead to Memphis. The Warriors set season highs for assists, 33, and three-pointers, 11. And they did a great job of just using their typical Warriors basketball, using ball movement to outpace a tired Portland team, who give Portland credit. They were probably tired. It was their third game in successive nights on the road, so you know they were tired. David Lee had 26 points. Monte Ellis dished a season-high 12 assists for Golden State. And Brandon Rush, little stat right before we go. Brandon Rush moved into first place atop the NBA's three-point shooting leaderboard. He went 3 for 3 against the Trailblazers. It was part of a 14.6 rebound night. And his season mark is 57.4% behind the arc. Very impressive. Brandon Rush, great acquisition in the offseason. Let's go Warriors. Let's see if they can make a run later in the season. Well, that's all the time we have in the Power Hour. I had a lot of fun. Next week we'll have Nuchin here. It'll be a lot more fun. We'll get into a lot more topics. I had a blast. Coming up on at radio.dominican.edu, we have DJ Misty and The Scoop. You will not want to miss the show. It's a great show. I had fun, and have a great night. See you next week.